Let's go ahead then, turn with me over to the book of Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 12. And this is where we're going to be at most of the day, most of the time this morning is in Genesis chapter 12. And I've been reading through my Bible reading, and I've been here in Genesis. As my plan is to go all the way through the Bible in 1 year. And so I'm just right on schedule with that, excited about it. But some things that I was reading here just really stood out to me, and I just wanted to share them with you here this morning. So Genesis chapter 12, and so that's the first book in the Bible. And so Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to start reading in verse number 7. Verse number 7, Genesis 12, 7. Make sure my phone here is okay. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 7. And we'll read through verse number 8. Genesis chapter number 12, verse 7 and 8. It says here, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." And so I just want to especially point out that place that he was talking about right there, and it says the east side of Bethel. The east side of Bethel. Now that word Bethel, if you look it up in the Hebrew, the definition there is called house. Beth means house, and El means of God. So God, so it's the house of God. And so here Abraham meets at this area on the east side of Bethel. He pitched his tent, and having Bethel on the east and Hai on the west, and there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And so there was a place where he met with the Lord to spend time with him. And now let's go over here to Genesis chapter 13, verse number 1. So we'll start off in verse number 1 of Genesis 13. And it says, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt," because I believe there's a famine in the land. So Abraham went to Egypt. Now he's coming back out of Egypt. "And Abraham went out of Egypt, and he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle." So he was a rancher. He had cattle. He knew how to work cows. And it says, "and in silver and in gold." So God had blessed him. "And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel." So here he comes back to the place called Bethel. "Unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai." So the same place. "Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord again." So twice we see Abraham come into this place. He built an altar to the Lord. And twice we see he called upon the name of the Lord. And so Bethel means what? House of the Lord. House of the Lord. And so just pretty amazing. So I want to say this just right from the start. This place that he went was not a building. It wasn't actually a house. It wasn't a church. It was a place where he'd come that he just set up an altar. And he says, and this is the place where he just got a chance and he called upon God in that place. And so so I want to say that the place that you have, that you meet with God, doesn't necessarily have to be a building. In fact, as I said, I believe last week, this is a building that we meet in. And you know what? I'm really thankful about that today, because it's pretty snowy out there and pretty cold. And it wouldn't be very much fun meeting out there in that snow. But the church itself is not a building. The church is the people that meet there. And so I said we can meet other places as well. But it's a place that we can meet and we can call upon the name of the Lord. And we can spend time with the Lord, and we can draw closer to Him in our life. And so hopefully Mount Calvary Baptist Church will be that place where you can say, "Hey, this is my Bethel. This is my house where God is, a place where I can meet with Him. I can hear His words preached. I can spend time with Him." And that's what we want to do. And so, and by the way, the Bible shows us that we should assemble together. In fact, the word church actually is the Hebrew word ekklesia. Can you say that? Ekklesia. And you know what that means? It means an assembly or an assembling. And so the Bible definition of a church is an organized assembly of baptized believers in Jesus Christ. That's what a church is. And so that's what we are. And so we want to assemble. And so we want to say that, hey, this is a place where we can meet God. But so let's go over now to Hebrews chapter 10. And you can turn there with me, or I can just read it for you. But Hebrews chapter number 10 tells us very very directly and clearly that we should be meeting together as a church. And so Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25 says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, that means building one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day that Jesus will be coming back. And so that day is coming. And so we should meet as a church. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I know that some might have looked at the weather today and says, you know, it's not really safe today. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I understand that. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, if they felt that it was dangerous, or maybe they didn't have good tires or those things. And I understand that completely. But if we can, and you chose today to do that, we should assemble. And we should come and we should grow each other, exhort each other, get to God's word, sing songs for the Lord, and pray and spend time with the Lord. And so Bethel, getting back to Bethel. So Abraham met at Bethel. He went into Egypt because of a famine. He came back to Bethel. He spent time with the Lord. So Bethel is the place where Abraham met the Lord. And so I want to ask the question for you. Bethel, by the way, may not be always at church. In fact, there should be a time when you meet with the Lord at your home as well, that you spend time with Him and get into His word and talk with Him. And so I want to say, how is your Bethel? How is your time with the Lord? And that's what we'll be talking about. So the title of the message today is Going Back to Bethel. Going Back to Bethel. And so let's look back here at Genesis chapter 12, and it's talking about Abraham. And we talked how Abraham went to Egypt and how he came back. And here we see Abraham, and we won't go through the verses again, but we see Abraham has spent time with the Lord. Now we're going to look at some other men who as well went to Bethel. And so his children, let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to bless the message here this morning. Father, Lord, we ask you for your help. I ask you for your help. As I have already, Lord, I know that you're God. This is your word. And so, Lord, I pray you help us to get a great heart's desire to meet with you. And, Lord, I want to spend time with you and to know you more and understand you more and to get into your word and ask you for help to understand it. And, Lord, to pray to you and also know that you answer prayer. And you do great and mighty things when we call upon you. So, Lord, we're going to ask you that here this morning. And, Lord, our heart's desire is not just to be able to show up to just enjoy fellowship, but, Lord, to have met with you here in your house today and to have walked with you and talked with you and to know that you're pleased and that you would talk with us through your word and you would give us what we need. So, Lord, I pray that each person here today could go away with knowing that they have spent time with you, they've drawn close to you, and maybe somebody here, too, that don't know you could receive you as Savior and know that they have a home in heaven and a place to be with you forever. Lord, we love you. Thanks for dying on the cross for us. Thanks for washing away my sin, Lord, that I can be forgiven. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so now let's go ahead here, and we're going to talk about some other people that went to Bethel. But we see Abraham went back to Bethel after first being in Egypt. And I wanted to just point this out. Bethel was the place that Abraham met, and then later his son Isaac met there as well. And so we see that Isaac's father met God at Bethel. Abraham was met there. And so I want to say that Abraham followed God. We see that Isaac followed God. Jacob as well was met at a place he called Bethel. But I want to say just because your dad met God at Bethel doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be close to God. I praise the Lord for my dad. My dad, he grew up in a home where his dad left when he was about just 6 years old, I believe. And he didn't really have a dad that would teach him how to follow God. He didn't really have a dad that would show him, hey, this is God, and he loves you, and you need to follow him, and God will bless you, and you can know him. He didn't have a dad like that. And maybe you're here today, and you say, Brother Russell, I don't really have a... Maybe my dad didn't teach me to follow God either. And maybe my dad didn't lead me that direction. And I want to say, just because that's the case doesn't mean you can't meet at Bethel, right? You still can meet there, and you can still meet with God, and you can continue on in your children. And so, and I'm thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for my wife's dad, who as well got saved in his life, and I don't believe his dad as well followed the Lord. And so here, I have a dad that said, you know what, just because my dad didn't follow the Lord, I am going to follow him, and I want my children to follow him as well. And same way with my father-in-law. And so, but Abraham did. And so Isaac as well followed God, and then we see Jacob did as well. And so let's look at some verses that show that about Jacob. But I want to say this, and this is what happened to Isaac. When you obey God and you live for him, it can bring blessings to your children. When you obey God and you live for him, it can bring blessings to your children as well. Look over with me to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, verse number 4. And so this is a challenge to me as a dad, and I see this, I'm like, wow, that's just such a blessing, and I want to as well be able to say that I've followed the Lord. Let's look at verse number 4, Genesis 26, verse 4. It says, and I will make thy seed to multiply. Here is Abraham talking to Isaac. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And this is what he says, verse number 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so what is God saying to Isaac? He says, I am going to bless you, Isaac, because of your father Abraham. He obeyed my voice. He kept my laws. He kept my statutes. He kept my judgments. So Isaac, I am going to bless you because of your father. Isn't that amazing? And so as a father, I can look at that and say, if I obey God and I serve him and I give him all my heart and I truly have a true walk with him in my life, I believe that God can take as well. And because of that, he can bless your children and my children as well if we'll do that. And so, man, that's to me is just a challenge as a dad. I want my children to grow up and serve God. And I believe that God, if I will just continue to be faithful and obey God and put him first and love him and obey his word and just do my best because I'm not perfect, then I believe that God, is, of course, he'll bless that effort. And so I'm looking forward to what God can do in all of our life if we'll just continue to follow him. But then we see, now it's going to move on here to Jacob. So here we see Isaac. We're not going to spend a lot of time here with Isaac, but I want to move now to Jacob. So Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter number 28 and verse number 10. Genesis 28, verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And so here we see he is leaving his home where he grew up in. In fact, there was some trouble between him and his brother because of the birthright. And he says that he, verse number 11, he lighted upon a certain place and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and he put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And so here's Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. He says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So he put his head upon a rock. He's out there in the rocks. There's no building there. It's just him and the rock setters out there. And he's laying on that rock. And while he was sleeping that night, he dreamed. And he saw a ladder that was set up from the earth, and the top of it reached all the way to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. He saw the angels going up and down upon that ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And so God spoke to him through that dream in verse number 14. And said, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So did you know that you're blessed because of Jacob? Because he said, in your seed. You know who came through the seed of Jacob, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Well, we know King David came through that seed, but later on, Jesus was born through that seed as well. And so we are blessed through that seed. All the families are blessed because of that, because Jesus came down from heaven through that seed and to be born of a virgin, and so we can have salvation through Jesus Christ. So yes, we are blessed because of Jacob. And so here we see that it goes on, it's talking about this. In verse number 15, it says, and behold, I am with thee. Isn't that a blessing? He said, Jacob. And here's Jacob laying out there in the middle of the desert and was sleeping on a rock. And God says to him, Jacob, your seed's going to be blessed and all families going to be blessed. But he says, Jacob, I am with thee. Was what the promise that he gave him. And then it goes on and says, and will keep thee in all the places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He says, wow. He said, God is here. And he said, I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is none other but the house of God. This is none other but the house of God. Now, was there a house there? There wasn't a house there. And so what it was is he was saying, this is the place where God is meeting with me today. This is the place where God has showed up to meet with me. And it says, and this is the gate of heaven. In verse number 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place, what was it? Bethel. Why? Because he said, this is the place where God has met with me. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So this is not the same place that Abraham met. Abraham met with where Bethel and Hai was at. This area was actually a place that was called Luz, but Jacob called it Bethel. It was the place where Jacob met with God. And so we see that that's where he had met with him. And Jacob vowed a vow and saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He said, if God's going to be with me, he's going to give me his closeness, and he's going to help me to be wherever I go. He says, if he allows me to come to this place again, he says, and then God will be my God, which God does allow him to come to that place again. I want to say this. Have you said to yourself about God, he is going to be my God? He's going to be my God. Now, Jacob could have said, you know what, this God is Abraham's God. But no, he says, no, he's not just my grandfather's God. He is my God. He is my God. And so what about you? Have you said that God is your God? Have you said that Jesus Christ is your God in your life? Have you put him first 100%? And that's what we need to do. And so we see that Abraham had a place that he called Bethel, the house of God. We see that Jacob now has a place. He said, this is where God met with me. It is the house of God. It is Bethel, the house of God. And so now we see that, of course, Abraham goes on to Laban's house, and he gets there, and he meets with Laban, and God blessed him, and he gave him a wife, and in fact, he gave him their Leah as well. And so now he has this great family, and he has a lot of kids, and he's coming back, and he's coming back to the land that where he was supposed to be started off with, where his dad was at. And now let's start here now in verse... let's look at a couple more thoughts here. I don't want to move on quite yet. But we see that he said, this is my God. He promised to give in verse number 22. I want to read this. In verse number 22, it says, In this stone, it says, which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So you know what Jacob was saying? He says, God, he said, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to love you. And all that you give me, by the way, what do you have? And where did it come from? It comes from God, don't it? And he says, God, all that you give me, I'm going to give back to you a tenth. That's what it shows us right here. So that's a tithe. So we see Jacob is going to give back to God. He says, if you bless me, and by the way, God did bless him greatly. And he says, and I'm going to give back a tenth to God. And so giving God a tenth or a tithe is saying to God these things. All that I have is yours. So, and by the way, I know that as a young boy, my dad, he got saved and he started following God. And he had me as a young boy, about 11 years old or 10 years old, about Elijah's age, just a little bitty feller. He says, now I want you to go out and I want you to learn how to work. And he said, I want you to sell newspapers. So I used to go sell newspapers as a little boy. And I'd go out there with 100 newspapers, and I would stand out there. And first, I'd go to all the businesses in Dermot, Arkansas, and it was just a small little place. And when I got done with that, I would stand out on the street corner with my papers, and I sold them for 35 cents a piece. And every one I sold, I made 10 cents. Well, that was big money, right? So I'm selling those papers. So if I sold 100 papers, I made $10 in a couple hours. That's pretty good for an 11-year-old boy, right? And so I was out there, and I get done, and I'd take that $10 back, and my dad would say, now, Russell, you made $10. How much is your tithe? That's what he would say. And I said, of course, I had figured it out pretty quick. And he would show me, and he said, and I said, so that's $1. So the time the offering came around at the church, I would put that $1 in the offering. You know, I started saying, you know what, God's going to take care of me. And from that time, he's always taking care of me. And I've had a chance to be able to get my tithe all that time. And I can say today that God is always taking care of my family. And it's not because that I deserve it. There's been times before when he allowed us to not have some things. And then he showed us, hey, I'm still going to provide for you by giving us the things we needed. Over and over and over, God is always taking care of us. And so I can never say that I've ever regretted being able to give my tithe to him. And so I'm so thankful I can still do that to this day. But being able to give your tithe to God is saying this. God, just like I did as a little boy, I had $10 in my hands. And it's all change. Just mostly all change. Because most of the time, if I ever got a tip, they gave me 50 cents. They didn't give me a whole dollar. So I mean, pretty much I had, my pants were all big old bags of change when I was walking home. Because I didn't actually have a ride. I would walk back to the house. And so I take that change, and I had $10. Well, what I was saying when I gave that $1 to God, I was saying this, God, all of it belongs to you. You're the one that gave it to me. And God, you're the one that can take care of me too. And I can trust you that you can do that. And so that's what giving a tithe or a tenth is saying to God. God, all that I have is yours. And then also it's saying, I trust you to take care of me and my family when you're able to give the tithe. And I believe that God can take that extra 90% that you have left, and he can make it do whatever you need to do. He can help you learn how to manage finances on and on. God's going to take care of you if you can trust him. And so, and he always has. When I was thinking about this, Brother Ferris up in Gallup told me a story. His song leader is named Jerry Cowboy. He's a silversmith. He's amazing. He's amazing. In fact, one of the bolos I wear has the big piece of turquoise in it. He actually made that for me. And but anyway, he leads the songs. And so Jerry Cowboy, when he first got saved, and he was first growing in the Lord, he was having a little struggle. Now, giving a tenth of my money to God, and Brother Ferris came up to him and he says, "All right, Jerry," he said, "I'll tell you what." He says, "I want you to, you know, if you'll tithe, I'll take all the money that you give to church, and I'll set it off to the side. And at the end of the year, if you come to me and say, 'You know what, God didn't really take care of me,' he said, 'I'll give it all back to you.'" That's what he said. And, you know, Brother Ferris was serious, too. He doesn't just say something. He was serious. And he says, at the end of that year, he came up to Jerry, and he says, "Jerry," "are you willing to, do you want it back? I mean, I've got it right here." And he says, no, I don't want it back. God's been taking such good care of me, and I can trust God." You want to say, can we trust him? We can trust God in our life. And I know that in every area, and I've seen, of course, my dad as well as how he followed God, even though when he didn't have much, my dad never had that much of an education. And so sometimes he would struggle in some of the jobs he would have. But I can see over and over and over how God always took care of our family all through growing up. And so I want to say you can trust God to take care of you. And then let's go now over to Genesis chapter number 31. So Jacob goes off to where Laban was at, and we see that a lot of different things took place. And now we see that he's headed back toward the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. And so Genesis chapter number 31 says this: "And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, 'Jacob had taken away all that was his father's, and that which was our father's hath he gotten all of his glory.' And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before." And so let's move here to verse number 11. As we're looking about Laban, it says in verse number 11, "The angel of the Lord, the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, 'Jacob.' And I said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee.'" So you say, what does that mean? So what happened was Jacob was taking care of Laban and his father-in-law's cattle. It was some people here have cattle, right? And so Jacob basically said this: everyone that is spotted or ring-straight or speckled, you know, the ones that are a little bit different. He says, and every time a cow has a calf and it's a little bit different, I'll take the ones that are a little bit different, is what he was saying. And he says, and Laban says, okay, that'll be fine. And so then he says here in this verse, he says, "And lift up your eyes and see that all the rams which leaped upon the cattle are ring-straked and speckled and grizzled." So this is actually talking about when they would come together and then they would later have babies. He said, all the rams, he says, this happened to be the ones that were ring-straked and speckled and spotted, because they were the ones that were all the males. And so because of that, God blessed Jacob, and here all these babies started having spots. They all started having stripes, and they all started having speckles. And so next thing you know, he's not trying to, but God's just blessing him, and all the ones that are being born are going to him. And Laban, you know, he'd already over and over had been dishonest with Jacob and had been taking things from him, and God kept blessing him over and over and over. And finally, God says, "I saw what Laban did to you." And that's what it's showing us right here in this verse. And it says that I'm going to lift up your eyes and see all the rams which sleep upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban had doeth unto thee. Then this is what God said to Jacob: "And I am the God of," there it is again, "Bethel, which thou anointest, where thou anointest the pillar." Remember when he met with God, he anointed the pillar with oil. "And where thou madest a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." So he's telling him now to go back, and to go back to where he came from. In verse number 14, "And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, 'Is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted unto him as strangers? For he has sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money.'" And this interesting thought there, basically how that he had Jacob work for him. And so they said, "He has sold us. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's now then. Whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods while he had got, which he had gotten, and the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, and to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. So he's going back home. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel has stolen the images that were her father's. And we'll come back to that here in a moment. But Rachel, his wife, Jacob's wife, stole some of the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban, the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So here he, Laban was dishonest, and he was kept kind of oppressing Jacob. And finally, Jacob, of course, he had lots of cattle now, and he had lots of different things. And so he God told him to go back. We see that very clearly. God says, go back to where you came from. And so he just said, all right. He got all his family together, and they took off. He took off back to where towards Canaan land, where he was from. And now let's go here and look in Genesis chapter 35, and this is where we'll finish up. Genesis chapter number 35, in verse number 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto the Lord that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto the Lord, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was at Shechem. So here we have, God says, go to Bethel, build an altar. He's basically saying to Jacob this, Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel, that place that's called the house of God, and I want you to spend time with me there where we met before. I want you to go back to that place again, and that's where I want to meet with you, Jacob. And so Jacob, when he's getting ready to go back to spend time with God, he looked at his wives, and he says, put away all your strange gods. What was the strange gods? I believe one of those is probably that idol that Rachel stole from her father. And so she had brought this idol with her, this idol that she was given worship to. This idol, this thing made by man's hands that wasn't real, and she was giving worship to that idol. And God said to him, she says, I want you to take and I want you to get rid of those idols, those strange gods that you have. And so Jacob told his wife that. And so what did they do? They went and they dug a hole underneath an oak tree. Right? And I don't know. I kind of think it was just Jacob by himself. He took all his stuff and he said, I don't want anybody else to know where this is at. And the earrings, and those earrings must have been something they were using as well to worship those gods. It doesn't really say. He dug a hole. And he buried it under an oak tree, and he covered it up. He said, now those are gone. God, we don't have to worry about those things anymore. They are put away from us. So I'm going to say, as we think about this, when it comes to worshiping God, it comes to spending time with Him, maybe there's something in our lives, if we're not careful, that will get in our way between us and God. Something that's strange to God, a strange idol or a strange God in our life. You're saying, Brother Russell, as far as I know, in my house, I don't have any idols. I don't have anything sitting on the window or sitting on the table that little statue that I go to and I worship that statue. God, I don't think I have any idols. But you know, anything you can put before God can be an idol. Anything you can put before Him. When I was a young man, probably about 15, 16, 18, 19 even, I used to play basketball all the time. Anybody here like to play basketball? And it was so much so that I gotten so into playing basketball that when it came to spending time with the Lord, I would rather play basketball instead. Does that make sense? And so I was always, instead of walking with the Lord or spending time in Bethel with the Lord and spending that time with Him, I would say, okay, I could pray to the Lord today or I could read my Bible today, but I wouldn't do it. I would take my basketball instead, spit it on my finger, you know, and I'd get out there and I'd shoot and I'd say, let's go out to the courts to my little brother Andrew and sometimes my brother Darwin, and we'd go out there and my brother Andrew, he would throw me the alley-oops. Man, the goal's a little bit low, by the way. We go out there and we would whoop up on those guys and I would get done and I'd say, man, nice alley-oops. You know what, because I'm kind of tall and back then I could actually get off the ground a little bit. And we would play, man, it was so much fun. But I had made basketball my God. Does that make sense? Why? Because I put something that I had before God. So maybe there's something you can say in your life, you say, there's something that I have in my life that I put before God. Now, basketball is not a bad thing. You can use it. In fact, I have used it since I've been out here. I've played a lot of basketball and used it to help people, invite people to church, different things. So basketball in itself is not a bad thing. But if you take something that's not necessarily bad and you allow it to become first in your life, then it's going to be bad. Does that make sense? Then it becomes an idol in your life. So what there might be in your life that you would put before God, and there's so many things out there and that we could talk about, we could mention that could be in our life if we're not careful. But I just want to mention just a couple things here that we can look at. I want to say this. Maybe in one of the things that I believe that can really steal away our time nowadays, if we're not careful, is social media. And so a lot of people have social media, right? And is there something wrong with social media? Some people might say there is, but a lot of people have that. Can you use social media to actually share Christ with somebody else? Can you use social media to invite someone to church? So it's not necessarily a bad thing to be able to connect with other people and to do that. But I want to say that as well, if it's keeping you from going back to Bethel, then it's a God in your life. Does that make sense? It's a God in your life. And so just real quickly look at a couple things. There's that still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, come back to my word. Come back to the closet where we met before. Lord, I would love to learn more about you, but you don't understand. There's more important information I need to learn about. About these other people or families. And that was the saying, is there's information out there that is important, that's more important than spending time with God. And so I'll just say this, we got to be careful. Even social media can come with God. Does that make sense? And so, well, maybe some other things. So it's time to get back to Bethel, the house of God. Maybe some of the strange God, someone could say it's money. Brother Russell, but I got to make some money. I got to go to work, and I got to make lots of money because we got to have money to do this and do that. Is there anything wrong with money? There's nothing wrong with money. But if money becomes more important to you than God, then money becomes your God. Does that make sense? Sports, as I mentioned that already, sports, if we're not careful, sports can become a God in our life, and we need to be very careful. What about TV? Ooh, TV can become a sport, can it? So you know what, God, the Holy Spirit, you know, this precious Holy Spirit inside of you, if you're saved, he's going to say, man, I sure would like to spend some time with you, and I sure would like to hear you pray, and I would like to speak to you through my word. But you say, well, I'd love to, Lord, but my show's coming on, right? And there's maybe nothing wrong with that show. But if show turns into another show, to another show, to another show, and it gets late, and you stay up really late, and the next morning you get up late because you stayed up so late, and then the day goes by, and you never spend time with the Lord. I just want to say we need to be careful that we don't put other things before God in our life, who loves us and wants to spend time with us. And so let's look now over here back in Genesis chapter number 35. As we look here, it says this, and I want to move back here where it says verse number 5. And they journeyed, and it says, and the terror of the Lord was upon those cities there around about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So there were some other people in the land that could have come after them and pursued after them, but God protected them. Verse 6, it says in Genesis 35:6, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. So that was the name of that area, but that is Bethel. So Jacob called it Bethel, and he and all the people that were there with him. And he built an altar, and he called the place. Now look at this word. This is a little different. It says El Bethel. You see that? What does El Bethel mean? In the Bible, El means God. And so this word Bethel means house of God. But El Bethel means the God of the house of God. The God of the house of God. Now we see that Jacob was coming, and he says he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel. Not just God's house, but this is the place where the God is of God's house. Wow. And so I want to say that, do you have a place like that in your life where you can say, this is where I meet with God in my life? God wants to meet with you. He wants to spend time with you. He loves you. He wants to have that fellowship with you. And so, of course, we talked about not having anything that would come between us. So because there God appeared unto him when he fled from his face of his brother. In verse number 10, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. She was buried there beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. And so it was actually the place where she had gotten old and she passed away. But verse number 9 says this, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. So who told Jacob to go back home? God did. And so Jacob said, I want you to leave Laban's house, your father-in-law, and I want you to go back home where you came from. And Jacob obeyed. And so as he obeyed, it says, verse number 9, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of the place where he's at before, and he blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And so here we see God blessed him because he obeyed him. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Verse number 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. In the land which he gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And so I want to say this. God blessed Jacob because he obeyed God. He blessed him. He said, Jacob, I don't want you to stay where Laban's at anymore. I said, I want you to go back to where you came. I want you to go back to Bethel. And Jacob says, God, I will. If you'll help me, I will. And he did, and God blessed him. He changed his name to Israel, and he blessed him in an incredible way. I want to say as we finish up here, do you have Bethel in your life? Do you have Bethel? Do you have a place where you meet with God? Do you have a place where you would say, God, I want to be close to you. I want to obey you. God, I want your blessing in my life too. I want to follow you, God, with my life. I don't want these things that are easily to pull me down. And there's other things we just mentioned, a couple things that could be something that could pull us down in our life. But you say, God, I don't want anything in my life that will pull me away from you. God, I must have your presence. I must have your closeness. And in Psalm chapter number 16, verse number 11, it says this, in thy presence, God, is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so will you say to God, God, I want to be in that closet with you. I want to be in that place with you. I want to be in Bethel, right? I want to be there with you. I don't want anything else to keep me from being with you each day, Lord. I want to pray to you. I want to be in your word each day. God, I need you to speak to me. I need your closeness. And God, I need your joy in my life. And we can have that joy. I just want to finish with a song that was written quite a long time ago, and they will have invitation, but it's called In the Garden. And this song was written by a man named Charles A. Miles. I don't really know his story, but I truly believe that Charles A. Miles had a Bethel, a place that he met with God. And I believe that he would meet in that place, because just based on the words of this song, he would meet in that place, and as he would meet in that place, he would say, this is such an amazing thing to spend time with God. I want to share this with others. And he wrote the song, In the Garden. This is how the words go. And you might know, does anybody know the song, In the Garden? And I'll give you the words, you might recognize it. But I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear, falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. So he's talking about, he goes to a garden and basically spends that time in that morning while the dew is still on the roses with the Lord. He says, the Son of God discloses. And here's the chorus. And he's talking about spending that time with Jesus. He says, and he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He says, that joy that I have when I'm spending time with the Lord, nobody else understands it. Because I believe he had a Bethel. He had a place. He said, I'm going to walk with God, and God's going to walk with me, and we're going to talk together. And he enjoyed that. And the next verse says this. It says, he speaks, and the sound of his voice, talking about God's voice, is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. He said, there's a melody because of the walking with him. There's a song in my heart. And he says, it's just ringing out. And then the next verse says this, I'd stay in the garden with him. He said, I could stay all day in that garden with the Lord. I don't want to leave it. But obviously we have work to do sometime, right? We have kids to go pick up from school. We have things we have to do, so we can't stay there all day. He said, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be fallen, but he bids me go. Through the voice of woe, he says, I don't want him to go, and he doesn't want me to go. But he said, there's going to be a time, though, each day, then I'm not going to be able to spend that all day with God. But his voice, he says, even when I'm not there, his voice to me is calling. He said, I'm sure looking forward to the next time that we can spend time at Bethel. We can spend time together in the garden, is what this guy is saying. Then the chorus again, and he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So I want to ask a question. Do you have a place like that where you can spend time with the Lord? You say, Brother Russell, I'm too busy. Give him 10% of your time. He'll make the rest of it profitable. He'll make the rest of it profitable too. So let's go ahead and have invitation time. If you're here today, you say, Brother Russell, I am not sure that I know Christ as my Savior yet. I want to have that Bethel. I want to have that walk with him. I want to have that closeness with him more than anything else. You know, he wants you to have it too. He wants you to have that too. And so as my daughter comes to play the piano and we think about this, I know my heart is this, Lord, help me Because there's going to be things. This life is full of things that's going to try to rob away your time with the Lord. Full of them. And I'd be the first to say that. I mean, there's all kind of stuff going on in my life right now. It's busy. But you better make some time. You better make some time. You see, what is in my life that I can that does not need to be there, that I need to make some time for the Lord in my life? And so allow Him to have that time in your life. And so let's have an invitation as my daughter plays the piano.
Providing you with a variety of video tools,